Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Hello again. Still here with me are Fine Gael TD, Barry Ward, Sinn Féin, MEP Liam Boyd and Paul Murphy of People Before Profit. And it's a challenge taken by yourself, Paul Murphy. We're going to turn to next, a case taken by you challenging the constitutionality of the attendance at cabinet meetings of so-called super junior ministers, which was heard in the High Court this week. So too is a case heard by Pat Daly, Liam Boyd and your party colleague of Sinn Féin. He's also challenging the attendance of cabinet at cabinet of super junior ministers. Now, in the present government, there are four super juniors: the Independent TD Sean Canny and Noel Grealish, the Fine Gael TD Hildegard Nocton and Fianna Fáil's Mary Butler, who's also government chief whip and therefore has a seat at the cabinet table. Now, we'll get a view of all of our panel in a moment, but first, for the benefit of listeners who weren't following this with rapt attention during the week, RTÉ's legal affairs correspondent Orla O'Donnell has been giving me a synopsis of what went on in the High Court in the last few days.
Well, Colm, the musical Hamilton was quoted during the case this week, and I've been dying to re-quote it. So essentially this case is about who gets to be in the room where it happens and what do they do when they're in the room. It's two separate cases taken by two separate TDs. The first by Sinn Féin TD Pad Daly, who was accompanied on his first day by the party leader Mary Lou MacDonald and by Piers Doherty, and the second by People Before Profit TD Paul Murphy. And they're challenging the attendance of the super juniors at cabinet. They say that the constitution allows only 15 full cabinet members to take government decisions and to meet and act as a collective authority, and the attendance of the super junior ministers is unconstitutional. And essentially the question is, on whose authority are these super junior ministers? There's currently four of them. On whose authority are they attending cabinet meetings? Mr. Daly and Mr. Murphy say there's no authority, there's no law, they've no right to be there. The state says there's nothing to stop them being there, that they say that the people can attend cabinet meetings at the invitation of the Taoiseach. That doesn't mean they're part of the government. And they say it's been that way since at least 1994, since the coalition government then, and possibly a lot longer since the foundation of the state.
All right. To keep it in the Hamilton theme, Pa Daly got his shot first. So what case did he put forward?
He didn't. Indeed. He said that super junior ministers were no different to other junior ministers because there is no special office of ministers of state who can attend cabinet meetings. He says that they've no right to be there. He says the communication from the full ministers to the junior ministers is a breach of cabinet confidentiality. And his lawyers also said it could not be a correct interpretation of the constitution to say that anyone could attend cabinet meetings at the invitation of the Taoiseach. And in any case, they say that officials being invited to come in and give advice or answer questions is not the same as attending and participating in a government meeting. And it was senior counsel Eileen Barrington who brought Hamilton into the matter. She said they were in the room where it happened, and she said they get to see how the sausage gets made and also participate in the sausage making.
All right. Paul Murphy also is taking a case. He's with us in studio, but for the benefit of listeners, what did his side say?
Well, his senior counsel, John Rogers, who's also a former Attorney General, said this was about the right of citizens to determine who rules the state via the Constitution and the approval of the Dáil. And he said the only rulers of the state could be the 15 people who were appointed in accordance with the Constitution. He said that neither the Taoiseach nor the government could hollow out or dilute the government by inviting other people to come in. He said there was no law whatsoever to allow it. And he said at the beginning of his case and at the end that it was quite clear they attended meetings, they participated in deliberations, they were listened to.
One of the men who sits in the room, the Attorney General Rossa Fanning, was in court for this case. So what argument did he put forward? What was his line of questioning?
Well, he was asking, could the Constitution be interpreted as stopping or forbidding the regular attendance of three or four ministers of the state at these meetings, and at the same time allowing his attendance as Attorney General and allowing the attendance of others, including, for example, the Secretary General to the government? He said the Constitution did nothing of the kind. It didn't regulate at all who could attend cabinet meetings. And he said the court was being asked to intervene in what he said was an unprecedented way with the inner workings of the executive branch of government. He said it's a matter for government who attends government meetings. And he also said the court should resist the attempt to conscript the judiciary to involve itself in what he said was a political contest being played as an away fixture at the four courts. He also said that cabinet confidentiality was never intended to stop junior ministers being in the room when decisions are made. He said there were examples of officials attending government meetings at the discretion of the Taoiseach, and he said these things were best left to that discretion.
We heard from a former minister and a former super junior minister, Shane Ross and Finian McGrath, respectively. What did they have to say when they took to the stand?
Yes, the point of their evidence, they were both in the governments led by Enda Kenny and then by Leo Varadkar in 2016 to 2020 as part of the Independent Alliance. And Shane Ross told the court he'd come to tell the truth about what happened in the cabinet room. He said everyone in the room was treated identically. And at the end of his cross-examination by the Attorney General, Russell Fanning, he was asked on the hazard of criminal prosecution for perjury if he had ever divulged cabinet discussions to a third party, breaching the Constitution. Now, he then admitted that he'd written a book in which he discussed lots of matters about, you know, what happened at Cabinet. This book was produced by Mr. Fanning, and he produced a number of extracts also, and he said all these described discussion at government meeting. And he said this was an act of calculated and deliberate illegality. This was all quite interesting material which happened at the end of a very long day in court. Mr. Ross denied this. He said it wasn't meant in the way Russell Fanning had described. He hadn't deliberately gone out to break the law. He said there was a precedent for politicians to write books like this, former politicians. And Mr. Fanning then asked him how much money he'd made from the book and would he give it to charity to make up for this illegality. Mr. Ross said rightfully, I think, that there was very little money in books and he had made very, very little money. But I think the point that the Attorney General was trying to elicit here was that it was a full minister who breached cabinet confidentiality in this case and not a junior minister.
All right. And Finian McGrath, for his part, what did he have to say?
Yes, he also got quite a rigorous cross-examination, but his evidence was seen as of significance by the court because he was a super junior minister. He was the person who was in this role. And he, again, was very proud of his role as a super junior minister. He said he was treated with respect. He was encouraged to participate in debates and decision making. And he said he was pleasantly surprised by this. It's not what he was expecting. And he outlined some of his achievements. He said he had made sure that the government ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. He spoke about being sent by the government to the UN to give a speech about this. And he said that he and Mr. Ross had blocked certain matters at cabinet if they disagreed with them. He said he had some examples of this, but he couldn't give them to the court because of cabinet confidentiality. So during his cross-examination, he objected to Russell Fanning putting to him that super juniors were of a lower order than full ministers. He said that the Attorney General was diminishing the office of super juniors. He said there was a section of society that would sneer at super juniors. He objected also to the downgrading of his speech to the UN. Mr. Fanning said this may have been a career-defining moment, but it didn't come with any statutory power. He didn't accept either that junior ministers could not bring memos to government. So this led to his own dramatic reveal during cross-examination. He said he had brought some memos to government on his own, some with senior ministers, but some on his own. And he gave dates and the issues on which he had brought memos. But when the government's team went off over lunch and checked these, Mr. Fanning came back in and said all these memos had the senior minister for health's name on them as well. Now, the Murphy side and the Daily side would say that this is a phony issue. And in the real world, Mr. McGrath said he did bring issues to government.
Ah, Orla O'Donnell there, RTE News legal affairs correspondent. Paul Murphy, as somebody who believes that, you know, people power and people marching on the streets is just as valid a political expression as electoral politics, why the stuffy constitutionalism? Why does this matter?
Yeah, OK, so I mean, I'm very limited in terms of what I can say about the case itself because the judges are now deliberating on it. We're expecting a decision by October. Why this matters, though, in very broad terms, is that this, in my opinion, is a political stroke. It has been a repeated political stroke by establishment parties to facilitate the involvement of particular groups, in this case, the Michael Lowry Regional Independent Group in government. And to use the words of Leo Varadkar in the article he wrote in the Sunday Times, to get around the Constitution. And I don't think you can get around the Constitution. I think the Constitution is a set of rules which says that power comes from the people, that goes through the Dáil in the form of the election of the 15 members of government, and it's not open to the government to bring more people in, to find ways around it, and that if they want to change the Constitution, we should change the Constitution. Okay. We should have a referendum.
Barry Ward, that article that Paul Murphy refers to there is possibly the most articulate argument in favour of the case that was put forward by both Pa Daly and Paul Murphy. Leo Varadkar, writing in the Sunday Times last year, said, "When I was Taoiseach, I tried to get around the rule of 15 by creating three super junior ministries with real and clearly defined responsibilities. super juniors or junior ministers or ministers of state to give them their official title who sit at cabinet. In my case, they were Finian McGrath on disability, Mary Mitchell O'Connor on higher education and Paul Keogh on defence. At cabinet, they were treated as equals, had a full set of advisers and brought their own memos for decisions. The fact that they didn't have a vote doesn't matter. There haven't been votes at cabinet for decades.
Well, super juniors existed long before Leo Varadkar was Taoiseach. They've been around for a very long time. The Constitution in Article 28.1 defines the government as being the 15 ministers, the Taoiseach plus 14, the maximum number of ministers. But as you've mentioned, or as Orla mentioned in her report there, you have other people who automatically sit in cabinet, the Secretary of the Government being the Secretary General of the Taoiseach's Department, the Attorney General, the Government Chief Whip. I don't know if the case specifically argues against any of them, but they have always sat in cabinet since the beginning of the state.
So in theory, any dog and divil could be in there.
Well, no, actually, but I think the argument the state is making is that with the Taoiseach's assent, other people can come to cabinet. But just to be clear about something Paul said there, the government can't put extra people in. The government didn't put extra people in. The Dáil did. The cabinet or the government is responsible to the Dáil under Article 28. The Dáil is the body that elected or appointed those junior ministers to sit in cabinet.
It
was approved by the Dáil.
No, they were approved by the Dáil
in terms of all of the ministers and all ministers of state
by
the Dáil.
It's just not factually, it's not true that it's approved by the Dáil. That was the whole point in the state's case, was to say that, no, look at this resolution here. It's only got the 15. There is no, and that was John Rogers, my senior counsel's
case. The Dáil voted on legislation in this area, Paul. The Dáil voted through all the legislation.
To give them extra pay.
And just on that issue,
to establish the offices.
Ministers of state get an additional €45,000 on top of their TD salary. Super juniors get another top up of €13,145, on that. But is that what you're talking about? Is that the vote you're talking about, the vote to approve that?
Yeah, but the Dáil knew what it was doing. It was never hidden from the Dáil as to what was happening, and the Dáil approved this. The reason I say this is, Paul in his comments there said that the government has expanded cabinet. It hasn't. That is a decision that was made by the Dáil to create the officers who now sit at cabinet. Cabinet is not mentioned in the
Constitution. I suppose the argument isn't whether the government did it or not. The argument now is whether it's constitutional.
Absolutely, and that is definitely not for me to say. There are three judges of much higher standing than me.
Yeah, but
Paul said, we're all restricted in what we can say in this. I think very clearly the Dáil approved it. The Dáil knew what it was doing. There's been a practice going on since the foundation of the state, and many of these terms are not mentioned in the Constitution at all, like cabinet or who gets to sit there.
Disingenuous. What do you want to arise from this? Paul Murphy, I think, wants to injunct the super juniors from sitting at the cabinet table. What's the aim of your party in taking this case?
Well, I know Pa Daly also has a legal background and has been very interested in this issue, because it's not the first time that we've had this situation. But what's very clear is that the super juniors, as Leo Varadkar has very frankly said, is about trying to get around the constitution, because you're trying to divvy up the spoils of being in government to have a coalition together and to give the maximum number of positions to people in that coalition. I mean, that's the reality of what's happening here. And to try and say otherwise, is just, this was about a grubby deal with Michael Lowry, and those independent groups wanted
they
to have
all existed
super
ministries.
Super
didn't
ministries.
They,
and Pa Daly has been talking about this for a very long time and has brought the case because it is a really important case, and let's get clarity on it. But I think, clearly, when you have a former Taoiseach saying that super junior ministers was a way around the constitution, that they brought memos, that they played the same role at the cabinet table as ministers did, that's then supported by what Finian McGrath gave as testimony as well. I think it's very hard to argue otherwise.
Barry Ward, seeing as you brought up the origins of it, going back to the Rainbow Coalition government, the reason that Pat Rabbit, the original super junior, and I'm sure Paul Murphy, he would contest the idea that he was at that time an establishment party, being as he was at that point in Democratic left, but it came down to the shake-up of cabinet seats. Fine Gael had one cohort, I think had eight of them. The Labour Party had six of them, and Democratic left wanted two cabinet positions, and nobody else was for budging to give them the second one. So the idea was arrived at that they would have a minister in effect with a driver and the powers of a minister in the form of Pat Rabbit. It doesn't really matter how long it's going on, does it? Maybe it was as wrong then as it is now for people
the point that I was making is that the notion that there are people at cabinet who are not the 15 has existed since the foundation of the state. So the Attorney General is not mentioned in the Constitution as being a member of Cabinet. Neither is the Government Chief Whip, neither is the Secretary General to the Government. All three attend without votes.
They are very different roles, though, aren't they?
Well, every Minister at Cabinet has a different role, but the Constitution is very clear in Article 28.1 that there are no fewer than seven, no more than 15 members of the Government.
Okay, but there is an executive and advisor. The Attorney General will there to advise on matters of law. The Secretary of the Government is there for policy coherence and to make sure that, you know,
records as well,
records are kept. What are the super juniors there
for? What's the Chief Whip there for?
No,
Chief Whip
is,
well, the point is they all have a role in the discussion. And I find it astonishing that it's a subject of remark that they were treated with respect. I would have thought everybody should be treated with respect in the Cabinet room. The idea that you should limit the discussion at Cabinet or the views that Cabinet hears or the input into Cabinet, I think is probably a bad thing. But the notion that somehow this became constitutional when the unconstitutional when the last government was formed, that's a nonsense.
Okay, Paul Murphy, how far does this go? All the way to the Supreme Court if necessary?
Well, we'll see. I mean, we're at where we're at. It was really interesting to be in court all week and to hear the arguments. I do think that the witnesses we were able to bring in definitely added something to the case. We're expecting a decision in early October. And then we'll see, obviously.
Right.
Me and Pa Daly hope that our side wins. I'm sure the state and Barry hopes that their side wins, and we'll see. But I think it is a significant case about how are we going to interpret.
You'd be hopeful that it'll be sufficiently significant for the issue of costs to be awarded in the public interest, as in they would be paid in the public interest as opposed to falling on your side.
I mean, that's a decision for the courts to make, which I better not intrude into.
We won't put you in that position. We'll take a break. We're back in a minute.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.